This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Thankful for this opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. Thankful for this opportunity to go through this favorite passage of mine and many of yours, I'm sure. If you look back over Galatians, it's wonderful to look at the fruits of the Spirit and to see how God can be working in our lives. I got a question for you. Do you ever take anything for granted? All of our heart is beating right now. All of our hearts are beating right now. Do we take that for granted sometimes? Do we take for granted sometimes that our pancreas is processing sugar right now? For those of you who are diabetic, you don't take that for granted, and you don't miss your medications either. You don't take those things for granted. Do you take people for granted, certain people for granted? Take your father or your mother for granted and their influence in your life and what they provide for you. A certain teacher provides for you. A leader provides an environment for you to thrive under. Do you take those people for granted? Your spouse who keeps the bed warm with you, gives you companionship. We take things for granted. We take people for granted. And this past month has been a humbling time for me in my study in preparation for the sermons that we've been preaching, and this one today that I'm preaching, that I have taken the Holy Spirit for granted. And this is a confession, me, before you, before God, I have taken Him for granted because I have cared more about what people think than what God thinks. It's hard to say it. It's humbling to say it. But I've cared more about what people think. I don't want to be perceived as a certain person on this side of the realm of the Holy Spirit. And I also don't want to be perceived on this side of the realm of the Holy Spirit. I want to be dancing in the middle and happy in the middle. And that's where I've been. I've constructed walls around me to make my life work the way I want it to work with God. That's humbling. That's humbling. It's embarrassing to admit. But through my studying of God's Word and through the sermons of this church this past month, it's really helped me to realize I got to let that go. I got to let that go. This past month, we've been looking and learning into God's Word and learning about who He is and the beauty of the Holy Spirit is a person. We learned that. He is a person. He is a person that draws people unto Himself. The work of the Holy Spirit is the only way someone can be regenerated in Christ. The Holy Spirit is always active and engaging in that process for someone to come to faith in Christ. He draws people unto Himself. The power of the Holy Spirit. And He doesn't stop there, but He indwells us. As we learned last week, we have the Holy Spirit who is taking residence inside of us. What a privilege this is to have a holy God, the Alpha and the Omega, the timeless being God, all sovereign, all knowing, taking residence inside of a believer in Jesus Christ. How humbling this is to know that we travel everywhere we go, that the Lord travels with us. His word, His promises are made true over and over again that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. We learn from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That seal is you take an image and you impress it upon wax, and that would determine ownership. We are owned by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and it will never leave us. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory? This is the Holy Spirit. He is known to be our comforter, our guide, our counselor, our helper. This is the Holy Spirit taking residence in us. This is what we have been learning. And today, I'm going to tackle the question of how do we walk by the Spirit? How do we walk by the Spirit as we heard Scripture read to us this morning, that we are to walk by the Spirit? And this is a challenge. This is a challenge. It's kind of silly to think that I can explain all things about the Holy Spirit, and that is ludicrous to even think so. But we are given the Holy Scriptures to give us guidance. So let's turn our attention to God's Word as He gives us guidance so that we can grow and walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We're looking in Galatians chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 16 with that first verse we are given. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. King James Version has it, walk in the Spirit. We're going to use walk by the Spirit. And the first point I want to take a look at is that this is a great goal for us to move forward to, because we don't want to desire the things of the flesh. And what the things of the flesh means is our sinful nature, our old nature, our old person, who we were before we came to Christ, okay? That's what the things of the flesh is talking about, the deeds of the flesh, the works of the flesh. This is operating in a sinful nature. This is what the Word is talking about, the desires of the flesh. There's something inside of us called that sinful nature that is inside of us, and it just doesn't leave us. It's part of our marking that we live in a life of sin, in a world of sin. We live in a sinful world. But Paul is telling us here, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He's speaking to a Christian audience here. People who are in Christ. People who have the Spirit dwelling in them. Taking up residence in them. They're walking in the Spirit. Now, he tells us to walk by the Spirit. I want to take first note here to take a look at that we have to appreciate something. And it happens here in verse 17, the very next verse. We have to appreciate that there is a war. There is a war going on inside of us. Let's read it together. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. It's as if there is a constant conflict happening inside the believer. A constant conflict. The war between our sinful nature, our desires for sin and the pleasures that we feel that sin brings, and on the other side, the Holy Spirit is inside of us, helping us to not desire those things of the sinful nature, guiding us in truth, being our conscience. It says, don't go down that road. You've been down that road before, and it leads to sin and it leads to death. There's a war going on inside of us. There's battles to be won and battles to be lost. You know, I was thinking back over my time as a Christian. For 33 years now, I've been walking with Christ. For 33 years, most of my adult life. And I think about how, if I was to put together a graph, age, walking in the Spirit, and with that graph, it started getting to become discouraging, a little bit depressing to think, like, how would I measure myself going along this graph over time? You'd always think you would love it to be up and upwards and to the right, upwards and to the right, upwards and to the right. But it's a battle wages within each one of us as believers. But what an advocate we have for us in this battle. And these battles can be won. These battles can be won by the Holy Spirit. It's true. It's good news. It's good to know that God is on our side and He is saying we can do these things. The works of the flesh, these are things that we find that in our old life we took desire in. And those who have yet to trust Christ, they continue to take desire in these things. In fact, they think these things, all of us right now, are foolish right now. 90% of Fort Collins is doing their own thing outside of church on a Sunday morning, research tells us. 90%. The 10% are in a Bible-believing church. But they would look at this as a priority list. Those who are yet to believe in Jesus Christ would look at our priority and say making it to church would be like number 88 on a Sunday morning. They look at these things as foolishness unto the world, 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us. The people who have yet to receive the Spirit look at these things as foolishness. But they don't have a discerning ear because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. So even those who are saved, who are born again, where the Holy Spirit does reside and does take up residence and is our advocate, even those people can struggle with sin and fail into sin. And we don't need to look very far in our past with our own lives, but yet alone with others who have failed publicly as pastors, as evangelists, who have failed publicly. And for some of these people, they're living a life in a pattern of sin that maybe even asks us to question, are they even saved in the first place? So I want us to take a look as we go through and look at this list. This list is a terrible list. It's an embarrassing list to read. It's a tough list. Before we get to that list, I want us to take a look at the second item that I think we need to appreciate, and that is being led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Appreciate being led by the Holy Spirit. If you look in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There's a word in there, if, that makes this conditional. If you're going to be led, if you're going to surrender, if you are going to submit and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. You're underneath the Spirit. This New Testament teaching tells us. You are now under the Spirit. And it's beautiful to see that when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, how He brings us freedom, how He brings us life. This list that we look about when we look at the deeds of the flesh and what it produces, like I mentioned earlier, is embarrassing to read. It's hard to read. Let's read it together now. Follow with me in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And here comes a list. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Things like these I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says He's warned us before that these people who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Where we find that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you want to turn there with me, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read these warnings. And He gives us a different list. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. In both these lists, we see the word sexual morality, and that means any sort of sexual practice outside the confines of a holy marriage between a man and a woman. That sexual immorality, any sort of sex that happens before that or after that or outside of the marriage, that is what is considered sexual immorality. And this is outside of God's will. It's when we take control of our own lives and we think we know better. We don't trust you, God. I think I know what's better. I want to practice this. That's an example of sexual immorality. And the list is severe. And it talks about that your salvation, you know, that the people who practice these things, that their salvation may be in doubt, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I think this is talking about in those people who make a pattern of a lifestyle of doing these things, a pattern of a lifestyle. There's an expectation here that your life will change because of the transforming work of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit came into you to help you receive Christ, to be in Christ, to be with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 goes on to say, how could you take where the Holy Spirit takes residence inside each one of us and treat your bodies with such contempt and bring it to the ways of a prostitute? How could you bring those two together? May it never be so. We are to be changed. Expectation is that as a life is transformed by the gospel, we'll leave a life of sin, a pattern of sin. So there is a great warning for us here, and also as he speaks back and he looks back into 1 Corinthians, his letter to them as well. So it brings me to this question, how do I function? How do I function as a person? Monday's coming tomorrow. You're thinking about this sermon. How do I function as a person? I've got actions to make. I've got a task list to accomplish. I've got a job to go to and a car to drive to get from here to there. How do I wake up in the morning and know that the power of the Holy Spirit is in me, that I should walk by the Spirit? Walk by the Spirit. Is it a, you know, how do I walk? How do I get this Spirit on? How do I know? Do I cut on the light? Do I not turn on the TV? Do I close the computer lid? Do I reach for the mustard? Am I walking in the Spirit? How do I know where my responsibility begins and ends and the power of the Holy Spirit inside me is doing His thing? I can't tell Almighty God what to do, right? He's in control. He's the one, He's the designer. He is the creator. So I can't tell the Holy Spirit what to do, but how do I functionally live out this tension of walking by the Spirit? You know, where I am walking, I am literally having to walk, do my role, which shows action. It doesn't say just lay in bed and lay by the Holy Spirit. He says to walk by the Spirit. How do I do that functionally? And as I think about it, and I've studied and prayed through it and researched on it, I think what it's talking about is a great need for dependence here. A great need for dependence. When you're in dependence upon someone, you know it. You're aware of it. When you're in dependence, you're no longer taking that for granted. You're in dependence, walking forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're trusting the Holy Spirit with your walk, with the functions of your day. So yes, it does come to like when you're driving and you have that road rage opportunity, you can be driving in the Spirit. This world needs to see Christians walking by the Spirit. It really does. They need to see Jesus in us. And the best way I think we can do that is by being in dependence, this tension of dependence on God and also having conversations, driving, putting our clothes on, and walking. Walking by the Spirit requires great dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We started this off by talking about, but if we are led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit means that we surrender and we follow the leadership of the Spirit. But that's a choice we make. It's a moment-by-moment choice we make to walk by the Spirit. Does this make sense to you? Appreciate being led by the Spirit. Appreciate that there is a war. My third point here is appreciate fruit is born of the Spirit. Appreciate that there's fruit born by the Spirit. The Spirit produces fruit. Yesterday I was taking a walk on a beautiful fall day, blue skies. There was a little bit of a breeze, but it was causing the trees to ripple and the water to ripple and the leaves falling and splashing on the water of the lake. And you look around and you can start seeing the apple trees becoming more apparent because the apples are no longer green, but they're turning red on a side that faces the sun. And you can see that there's fruit on those particular trees. Where other trees, there's no fruit. But on those apple trees, they're bearing fruit. And in our backyard, the neighbors apple tree is just hunkered with all this heavy fruit. It is just burdening these limbs. They're just hanging vertical. It's like, relieve me of this weight. And it's such a beautiful time of year, beautiful time of the creation of God and what he does with fruit. And for us to look here, and this fruit is talking of either a grapevine or of a tree that bears fruit. Appreciate that fruit is born of the Spirit. It is not born of a person. You cannot will yourself to love people with the love of God. You cannot willpower yourself to have more patience. You will fall to the end of yourself with that. But these fruits that God displays for us here are the work of the Holy Spirit inside the believer. And when you see fruit on a tree, it's noticeable. And when you see a Christian who is evidence of walking by the Spirit, they see these fruits evident in their life. Do you not take notice in that? And the people who have all or some of these fruit evident in their life. I love how it starts off with the word but, because it just finished off with this whole naughty list of terrible sins that many of us have left in our past life and are having victory over in our current life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll see much of the naughty list above, full of sin, where we gratify the sinful nature. It is impacting our sexual lives, our relational lives, and also our desire to know the future. More and more control. That's what many of those up there look like or are aiming for. And these fruits, especially as it finishes with self-control, that is speaking specifically towards sexual self-control. That you would reserve yourself and honor your life of living chaste and waiting and depending on God and trusting that His way is better and not you taking control of your own life and your own desires, fulfilling your own desires. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit that is given of the Spirit. It's not one that you can just muster up and willpower to get. You got to walk by the Spirit. Walk in dependence of the Holy Spirit. And be aware that you are in dependence of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is not fruit of the person. It is fruit of the Spirit. And it makes me think of this word, look in this word, karpos, is the Greek word for fruit. And it's also the same word that is found in John chapter 15. Remember when we did our study on abide years ago? That same word is used in John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Karpos. He will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. These are Jesus' words in John chapter 15. This fruit comes from abiding in Jesus. This fruit comes from surrendering your life to the Holy Spirit. That is where fruit comes from. A steady walk with the Holy Spirit. A steady walking by the Spirit. This work of the Holy Spirit, of these fruits, do you want Him? Do you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? As you examine that, you have to ask the question, am I afraid of more of the Holy Spirit in my life? Is there some sort of fears there? Like I was mentioning in my introduction that I had. How people view me. How people view you. How much control, how much do you give up to the Holy Spirit? Some of you may be like, you can have it all. Have it all. I want the Holy Spirit to have underneath my fingernails. I want Him to have it all. All. I'm ready. I'm trusting. Let's go. I want it. But some of you may be more reserved. You have to ask God an honest question. Why? Why am I reserved? Why am I not ready to walk by the Spirit entirely? a full strut walk, all of it. Some of you might be afraid that he may ask you to give up of all your wealth, move to Africa, and suffer with mosquitoes. Some of you may be afraid of that. Bring it to God. The truth is, if you walk by the Spirit, he will probably ask you to do difficult things. He probably will. He did Jesus. He'll probably ask you to forgive someone you have not wanted to forgive for a good 22 years. He probably will ask you to trust him with your anxiety. Trust him and trust him more. He'll probably ask you to trust him with your sexual life, with your addiction to sex or pornography. He'll probably ask you to trust him. He'll probably ask you to trust him in sharing the gospel with your neighbor over your fence. You've known this neighbor for 22 years and you've been trying to build up a relationship with him, working on that. It's time to take that step and trust him. And do something you don't really want to do because you're going to potentially mess it up. But he's saying, trust me. Depend on me. Lean on me. I'm your crutch. I'm your cane. Be aware of it. Involve me. Engage me. Folks, if we are going to ever accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us at the end of Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, that we have as a mission here at our church, that we are going to glorify God by making gospel-driven disciples, by engaging people in the unexpected joy of a life more and more dependent on Jesus. If we're going to accomplish that mission, we've got to engage the Holy Spirit. We've got to move forward with the Holy Spirit. We've got to just walk by the Spirit moment by moment, day by day, year by year. We can't accomplish that mission without the Holy Spirit. We need him. We need to depend on him. On our own, we won't be able to accomplish it. And we'll continue to not have more and more influence with our neighbors. How do we walk by the Holy Spirit? How do we walk by the Spirit? I say appreciate the gift of the Holy Spirit in you and enjoy him. Don't take him for granted anymore. Appreciate him. Enjoy him. Love him. Trust him. Speak with him. The God of the universe resides in you, the believer. Don't take this for granted. Enjoy him. Let me say this. Some of you in this room have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you. Many of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time. Let me remind the room about what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news about what God has done in Christ Jesus, focused especially on the cross and resurrection for the salvation of his people. Let me say it again. The gospel is the good news about what God has done in Christ Jesus, focused especially on his cross and resurrection for the salvation of his people. In my research, there's a theologian named D.A. Carson, and he did some research upon John Newton. And John Newton was a man, at the age of 20 years old, hit the sea as a sailor, and eventually became a captain of a slave ship. And he transported and sold 20,000 slaves. All the rest of his life, he had nightmares of their cries and squeals for help. He eventually came to hear the gospel and responded to it and grew and matured in his faith and eventually became a pastor and wrote one of our favorite hymns, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Carson went on to say he essentially wrote these words beyond the hymn. He, John Newton wrote these words, "I am not what I want to be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what one day will be. But I am not what I was." And by the grace of God, I am who I am. You see, by their fruit you shall know them, Jesus says. By your fruit you shall know who follows me. He is our comforter, our redeemer, our helper. We cannot come to trust and believe in Jesus without the work of the Holy Spirit. When we repent and believe, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit who has brought us closer to himself. And we are owned, and we leave a life of slavery to sin to become children of God, slaves to righteousness. If you want to respond to the Holy Spirit's call upon your life today, in just a moment, I want to give you opportunity to do that. You can come and share with me privately, and I can pray for you privately, and you can receive Jesus Christ as the leader of your life and the forgiver of your sins. The best gift of all mankind could ever receive is to be reconciled to God. And you have opportunity to do that. You know if you need to respond. You know that God has been working in your life up until this day. He's been drawing you closer and closer by the power of his Holy Spirit. And you can now start your new strut, your new walk by the Spirit by professing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that today. You can know with assurance, 100% assurance, that your sin is forgiven, your past, present, and future sin, by the power of Jesus' work on the cross. For those of us who have already made that decision in faith in Christ, I want to ask that you would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your life would be making transformation, that you would have honest conversations with our Father in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the work of Jesus, that you can have these conversations and pray and ask God, where have I built walls to keep you out? Where have I not trusted you further? How have I taken you for granted? How have I quenched your Holy Spirit? Have those honest conversations and move towards maturity in Christ. And join us as we move forward in trusting him, enjoying him, and believing him for all good things. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let me pray. I want to pray and ask the worship team to come forward to lead us in our last song. Father, I want to ask that as we've had time to hear from your word, to pray, we come now needing you, Holy Spirit, to have your way, your work within each one of us. God, I want to confess as a church that we've taken you for granted. We've built up walls where walls were never meant to be built. We've cared too much about what our neighbors think of us and less about what you desire in us to do. You said, Jesus, you said that we are your friends if we obey what you tell us to do, obey what you command. May we be found to be obedient people that seek your applause over others. Help us to be daring and bold in the Spirit, that we be a changed people. There's no way our hearts can be changed except by the power of your Holy Spirit. So we say, Lord, have your way with us. We surrender and we follow and we want to walk in step with you, Holy Spirit, following you in a line, trusting you that your way is always better than ours. We love you. And we pray that God, that you would be honored and glorified in all things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today, or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.